Welcome back to another episode of Football Tailgaters Podcast, where we talk everything about the NFL. My name is Aaron. I am a Cowboys fan. I got Yams and Andy. Yams being the Texan Jets fan and Andy being the unbiased sports fan. And today we have three exciting and interesting topics that we are going to talk about. First off, AJ Brown to the Eagles. Does that make them the NFC favorites? And then second off, we got Tannehill saying that he won't mentor Malik Willis. Does that make him a bad teammate? And third, we got Hopkins suspended for 6 games. How will the Cardinals handle the situation? So first of all, as a Cowboys fan, I'm not excited to have AJ Brown go to the Eagles at all. This trade with the Titans during the draft day, we were there live when it happened. We just saw the news breaking, all that kind of stuff. I wasn't really paying attention when the trades were going on. It was all kind of like weird because I kept checking Twitter and stuff like that. And then we would see the picks go on and we'd be like, aren't the Titans supposed to make a pick? But then we realized, oh, they traded for it and stuff like that. But anyways, AJ Brown got traded on draft day to the Eagles with his friend Jalen Hurts. And there was like a video of them FaceTiming each other, and they're like so excited to be together. And just want to know what your guys' thoughts on that. Are the Eagles NFC favorites, Yams?
Look, I don't have much confidence on the quarterback Jalen Hurts. I don't think there will be such a big improvement, but there might be a slight improvement because they do have an elite receiver in AJ Brown. I think he's an awesome player, and I think he helped out Ryan Tannehill, which I also don't think is a great quarterback, you know, average. And so going to a team where I believe that Jalen Hurts is even lower than Ryan Tannehill, it does improve the team. It doesn't improve his situation. So I do believe that. I know last year they were relying heavily on the run. They had Boston Scott running up the field. They had Miles Sanders at times, and they were kind of going back and forth with these two. I'm not sure if there was another one. I think the other one was injured. It was Jordan Howard. I think he was injured. But either way, it was like three running backs they were kind of relying heavily on. And even Jalen Hurts runs the ball because he misses receivers that are wide open. So with AJ Brown, I see a lot of screen passes, those type of passes that I think Jalen Hurts will be able to do. I just don't see big splashes. It'll be a slight improvement. But again, my question goes back to a lot of heavy questions heavily on the quarterback. Is Jalen Hurts even the right quarterback for the team? So adding AJ Brown does help, but my thing goes to the quarterback. Will it help the situation? Maybe slightly. So in short summary, I might see them challenge the NFC East to win it in a division, but not for long. Not for long. I think it's the conversation's there in the beginning, maybe a month into the season, and the NFL changes. So I don't see them entertaining that subject for a very long time, at least this season.
What do you think, Andy?
Yeah. I mean, I can see that. The only thing with the problem with the NFC East is that it's just open. It's kind of open for any team to get it except the Giants with Danny Dimes. Honestly, I mean, you could have debated that the Cowboys were like the number one. I mean, many people will probably say the Cowboys still, but I mean, they did get. They don't have Cooper anymore, which was somebody really big that was part of the offense in these last couple years, even though he sometimes went out of the field and went in the field, but he did show up a lot. I mean, if it wasn't for him, they probably had I don't know if they would have won that Viking game with Cooper Rush. And they also, they don't have Smith anymore that went to the Dolphins as well. So they're lacking offensive weapons. They did draft a wide receiver, but we don't know much about that wide receiver right now. So we'll see when the season comes out. But right now with AJ Brown, he was a really big time talent with Tennessee. Even 2 years ago when Julio with Julio Jones and him and as the wide receivers, they actually played. I mean, AJ Brown did a really, really good job with Tannehill in that offense. I mean, maybe it has a lot to do with the offensive coordinator there. But it, I mean, he did monster points. So with the Philadelphia Eagles, it's kind of hard to pinpoint if they're going to be the favorites, because again, Jalen Hurts is the quarterback, so it's a number of it's the main position in the football team. So I mean, if he doesn't play well, then I mean, who's throwing the ball to AJ Brown? It's Jalen Hurts. So if he doesn't do well, then we have a problem. Devontae Smith, which is the other side, because I mean, with football teams, you do need like two like beasts as wide receivers in order for one to get catches and the other one as well, just so we can move like defense of I don't know, double teaming one wide receiver and leaving the other one open and then vice versa. So Devontae Smith, he was the Heisman winner in college, not last year, 2 years ago. So I mean, I didn't see like too much of spectacular from him last year with the Eagles. So we'll see this year how that goes. But as of right now, would I say they're favorites? I would say no, because Jalen Hurts is the quarterback. And I mean, they're still trying to figure things out with the Philadelphia Eagles. So.
Yeah. I mean, we only in 2020, wasn't he kind of switching out? That's when Carson Wentz was still there, right? In 2020?
Carson Wentz was still there, yes.
Yeah. That's when it was the whole, like, who's going to be the starter? And they were kind of going against Carson Wentz, and that's when, like, trade rumors started popping up, and he got traded to the Colts eventually. But we didn't get a fair analysis of him in 2020, but... he's not off to a great start in this past season. He finished 8th in interceptions. He was tied 23rd for touchdowns this past season and 21st in yards, and his QBR was a 48.5. I don't know if you guys care about that or not, but there it is if you do. So, and he had a 61.3 completion percentage. So you wouldn't say those are outstanding numbers, but you could also argue that he was kind of trying to figure out, you know, because he's finally the captain of the team, you could say. And the running back situation they had with him was kind of weird. And, he doesn't have that many great wide receivers. I mean, who of these, it was, so they drafted Devontae Smith last year, right?
Or was right.
It right? Devontae Smith, they have Jalen Reagor, and even Greg Ward. Would you say there are any outstanding wide receivers? So, I don't know.
And they got rid of their tight end, too.
Zach Ertz. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they only have Dallas Goedert right now. So it's not like he has crazy good weapons or anything, but they're also not garbage players at all. But you would see some of his highlights, Jalen Hurts, and sometimes you could say like, oh man, he's not really accurate with the ball, and you know he's a good scrambler, so he might be like a I almost see him almost like a like he could be Dak Prescott, but I don't think he'll reach to an insane potential or even get close to Dak Prescott. I think Dak Prescott is a better quarterback. Because, I mean, if you compare the quarterback situation in the NFC East, like, ugh. And it's not, you'd go with Dak Prescott, but it wouldn't be pretty. But, yeah, I mean, I think this is going to definitely, AJ Brown to the Eagles is definitely going to improve them as a team, you know. But it is going to be interesting to see how they use them. You're mentioning Yams, how they perhaps will use them in a lot of screenplays and stuff like that. That'd be interesting. We'll see how this goes, but I don't think this makes them the NFC favorites. I think the majority of the people would say Cowboys, but like Andy said, it's kind of like an open door to see who's gonna get the first place in the NFC East. And
one thing to point out with the Eagles, I think they're just getting tired of missing out when the wide receivers in the draft, because they draft it has been awful. I mean, let's go back to 2019, and they got in the second round JJ Arcega-Whiteside, and well, he didn't last long.
Nope.
Nelson Aguilar. I remember even this guy in Philadelphia.
The guy who just drops everything.
Yeah, the guy that just drops everything. There was a guy, there was like a fire in Philadelphia, and there was this guy that went in to save, I don't know if it was a baby or, I don't know, a person. And then he came out in the news and saying, hey, well, I was catching babies or something, and not like Nelson Aguilar. So I mean, I know the Philadelphia fans out there are really hardcore. So I know that they really didn't like Nelson Aguilar as their wide receiver, because he was dropping everything. So he was a first round in 2015. And, well, I can probably tell you that most fans over there didn't like him. And then we also had Jalen Reagor, like you were saying. He was a first-round pick.
And he was a
letdown. 2020, and he's not there anymore. Jalen Reagor in 2020, first-round pick, and he was a letdown. So I think they're just tired of us missing out on wide receivers. Oh, and then they had the opportunity of getting CeeDee Lamb, and they missed it. They didn't get CeeDee Lamb. Yeah. That's an end. The Cowboys were like...
And they got angry. I feel like this was them, like, trying to redeem themselves for the CeeDee Lamb thing,
or just be competitive, because they haven't. I mean, they're just a weird team, because they look like they're not doing so well, and then it looks like they get their act together in the end of the season, and then they make the playoffs.
It's really annoying.
And I guess, yeah,
it is.
Well, I live with a Cowboy fan, but so I root for them sometimes. And this is the thing with the Philadelphia Eagles. I say that maybe they'll be in, you know, maybe. I say in the beginning, maybe towards the end, because they kind of, like you just mentioned, Andy, they're always somehow in the playoff picture. They're somehow in a playoff hunt. Somehow. Yep. So that's why I kind of said they might be there, but in reality, they're not a threat for me. I don't see a threat. I also don't see Washington as a threat at all. I think... As usual, per usual, probably Carson Wentz will go down. Probably.
Well, you know that we haven't had a repeat team for the NFC East since like early 2000s.
No, it's always a different Who's team. Me?
Yeah, like there's not a back-to-back like the NFC East champion, the winner of that division. It hasn't been a repeat since early 2000s.
Who won last year?
Cowboys.
And the year before that was the Eagles?
Yeah.
Yeah. You sure?
Yeah. No.
That's when Carson Wentz got hurt, right?
That was actually Washington.
It was Washington against Tampa Bay, Washington, no?
With Tampa Bay, yeah.
And they got knocked out the first round.
I see.
Yeah, but the Eagles went to the playoffs last year.
Mm-hmm.
Is there an algorithm to this? So if last year was Cowboys, who's next?
I mean, Giants? In my opinion, it's either... I don't think so. Like, no, like, I know, it can't like, be them.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's really going to be a toss-up. But if we really had to pick someone, it would either probably be the Cowboys. I don't know. That's if I had to pick one, it'd be the Cowboys, because they're the roster. If you go by the roster, they have the better team, the better talent.
Yeah, they won like 12 games last year, if I'm not mistaken. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, but I mean, that's...
But look what that did.
Because they do... They play their division, NFC East, which was easy.
They're a disaster, that division.
Yeah, exactly. And then when they played hard teams, they lost to them. So they played like five really hard teams. And I mean, maybe like a couple that were like hard.
And it was the worst division in like the whole league.
And it was so it's
that's
not,
true.
Yeah,
that's
if
true.
If you're a Cowboys fan, don't get excited just because you won 12 games. That doesn't say much. On paper, looks nice, but I mean, when you use your eyes and you watch the games, you're like, no, this team can't.
Mm-hmm. Can't exactly. Make it. Exactly.
I have to say something about, you know, the NFC East. They're always somehow always on the news. And well, that bugs me.
That's the fans.
It's too many. It's the team. Eagles have a huge fan base.
Yeah, two of the teams have the most. Like you could argue, probably the most annoying fan bases is the Eagles and the Cowboys.
You can, yeah. And then you have New York with Giants, and then you have Washington. There's a lot of Washington fans out there. So, yeah. I mean, if you compare divisions to other divisions, I mean, you always have like a lackluster in some and the divisions. Like, let's say the AFC East. You have Boston, you have New York, right? And Miami. But then you have Buffalo. I don't think that there's a lot of Buffalo fans across the country. You also have, I don't know, the Saints, Falcons, Carolina, and the Buccaneers. I mean, how many Buccaneers fans were out there across the country before Tom Brady was there?
No, they all jumped on.
Exactly. So if you look at the division themselves, it's a division that's full of big cities and big following. So I think that's why they're in the news a lot, because of the ratings.
Yeah. Hey, man, it just bugs me. It just bugs me. But I just don't see... I agree with Aaron. Well,
move to New York. You'll see a bunch of New York stuff there.
Move to New York. Hey, we're everywhere. There's a bunch of Jet fans everywhere. They just kind of pop up.
It was really surprising when we went to the draft how many Jets fans. There were even annoyed, like, or not annoyed. They were surprised. Like, how is there so many Jets fans around here? And it was Las Vegas, so it's not like we're like close to New York or anything like that. It was a lot of Jets fans. It was really surprising. And then you have those other teams that you didn't really see that much. Like, I didn't see that many Cincinnati Bengals fans. I think I saw one.
I think I saw only one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, I did see a lot of Cowboys fans. I see a lot of Raiders fans. Tampa Bay, just a lot of bandwagoners probably. And I don't know. I saw some Green Bay's, a lot of Giants fans. You see, it was just and Eagles fans. There was a lot of Eagles fans.
It was.
So... If you had to say what division had the most fans there in the draft, you would say
NFC. I saw a lot of Eagles, a lot of Cowboys. I saw quite a few Vikings, I'll be honest. And they were kind of decked out a lot. They came out dressed in costumes and all. Cowboys, the Jets, Giants, a lot of Giants, too.
Exactly. Washington, I didn't see too many Washington. No. Maybe because they don't have jerseys yet with the Commanders.
Maybe they don't have a name.
I saw some. Yeah, they had hats with the new logo and everything. Yeah.
I did see a lot of I remember seeing a lot of 49er fans.
I saw, yeah, I was going to say 49ers. Yeah, that was another team.
Oh, yeah, that's
another big team, right?
That's another big team.
I saw a little bit of Rams. Think,
yeah, there was Rams.
I didn't see any.
No, I did. I saw some Rams. It's just that the colors don't look too
flashy.
They don't
stand Nobody flashy. Cares. Nobody
well, because they were using mainly the white jerseys. I didn't see many of the blue and yellow ones.
Do you think Washington fans are a little... like nervous? Well, not all of them, right? I'm just saying it could be a percentage of fans that might be a little nervous to wear those old jerseys that has like the Redskin logo, Redskin logo on it, and just people like saying something to them.
I wouldn't. I mean, at least me, if I were, I wouldn't.
It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, it's not a big deal.
Well, you know how
it's a throwback.
You know how the country is. There's a lot of people that are angry with things that are coming up. So I don't know. There might be a situation that there's a percentage that'd be like, I don't want to deal with that. So I'm not going to wear it.
Well, what did we see? Someone on the strip saying that they don't call them the Redskins. They call them, you were there with me. They call them the lame skins or the bum skins.
Probably an Eagle fan.
You know, it was actually a Cowboy fan.
Oh!
It was a Cowboy fan. I was like, whoa, that's messed up, lady.
That's surprised.
Yeah, like Aaron said, you have a lot of annoying Cowboy fans, a lot of Eagle fans. Yeah. So.
And that's coming from a Cowboys fan, yeah. Like, I'm almost ashamed of my own fan base, of our own fan base.
Nah, it is what it is.
Having fun, right?
Yeah, they're everywhere. I mean, everywhere the Cowboys play, there's a lot of fans. I remember when we saw the opener in Tampa with the Cowboys in Tampa, there was so many Cowboy fans. So many. It was like probably 65% Tampa to close to 70% to 30% of it Cowboys. So almost getting to 40%. Of Cowboy fans, almost 50, so getting close to that 50-50 mark. So it's they're just a team that just you have fans everywhere.
Yeah, I agree.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Annoying and a lot.
And they're not going away anytime soon either.
But I guess we all agree that doesn't make AJ Brown going to the Eagles doesn't make them a favorite to win the NFC East.
No, no, because the quarterback. It's the quarterback.
It's the quarterback, exactly. Yeah, I think we can all agree here. It all comes down to Jalen Hurts, right? All eyes are on him this season.
Yep.
You can't say, though, that, I mean, right away, like, oh, like, do they have to look after another quarterback or something like that? I mean, that might be a little bit too early. He barely had 1 year. Like one complete year where he just played, it was all him this past season.
I think a good rule of thumb is to give a quarterback 3 years, minimum 3 years. If you want to get him kicked out of the third year, go right ahead. But at least 3 years, just so the quarterback can learn from whoever he's learning from, being taught or learning the system, practice or whatever. Unless he's I don't know, has some attitude issues, have a Manziel issue, and just they just have to get rid of him. So, or I can't think of another one right now, but you know what I mean.
Especially if
he doesn't have a lot of mentoring on that kind of stuff. Like, the backup is Gardner Minshew, so who does he go off of? He goes off the quarterback coach and you know, the head coach and stuff.
I think
like
Gardner Minshew even played last year when Hurts got hurt.
He did.
Hurts got hurt.
When Hurts got hurt, yeah, he did, and
he won.
But he's kind of on his own in there. Like, he just got thrown into the wolves almost. So I mean, I don't know if you can say, like, you have to give him a fair shot. Like you said, 3 years is good. So he's got like two more years left to. So the organization can start considering moving him away and look into the draft or pick up a free agent.
I think that's a really good segue to the next topic with Tannehill, with the mentoring.
Yeah, he said recently in an interview, let me just pull up the quote here. He said, let's see what he said. I know... when he was talking about that, he got backlash, and Kurt Warner immediately tweeted out, kind of going against him. But he basically said it's not his job to mentor, you know, the up and coming quarterback, the one that just got drafted, Malik Willis. The way it sounded, like, if you read it off, I don't know about you guys, but it sounds kind of a little bit harsh to me. Like, okay, like, wow, that's kind of mean. But I mean. In a way, I can try and see what he's trying to, like, the point he's trying to get to. But in the media nowadays, it's obviously going to come off negative. So, yeah, is he considered a bad teammate? What do you guys think?
So, here's the deal with me. Because, I mean, how you read it, that's how it sounds like. Because you can see the clips live if you look it up, of Tannehill saying these things to a reporter of him, it's not his job to mentor Malik Willis. So it depends on the perspective of the quarterback, in my opinion, and what stage he thinks he is, like, playing at a level, because there's two types of quarterbacks, in my opinion. There's the ones that think they can really do something and compete to win a championship. I mean, I'm saying that they all want to win a championship, but there's ones that are like, no, I'm the starter. I should be the person in charge and taking on the reins for this football team. And then there's the second quarterbacks that are that they know that they're the backups and / mentors. And they're there to just help the football team. They know in their minds, maybe they were told to him, or they're just in that career mode that they just know that they're just there to help them and mentor, like Joe Flacco or
you can say a little bit of Tony Romo with Dak Prescott.
I mean, that was just very little, but yeah, I don't think so. That's a completely totally different situation. I wouldn't put that as an example. But you know what I mean? There's a lot of, what's his name? He's been a mentor for like so many, teams. He was for the Jets for a long time. Then he went to the Eagles and then he started.
His name is, he went for a head coaching job. No, for the Houston.
Yeah, he interviewed for a head coach.
I know who you're talking about, but it's not coming to my brain.
It's not.
White tall dude.
Yeah.
Josh McCown, no?
Yeah.
Josh McCown. McCown,
exactly. So, well, anyways, yeah, McCown, Flacco, and they're just those quarterbacks that they know that they're just there to help the team. So, in Tannehill's point of view, he's taken to this team to the playoffs twice. Whatever your opinion is on him, it's on his perspective saying, hey, I'm still the guy. He probably got really annoyed when they drafted Malik Willis. Because he even mentioned, like, I learned a lot in Miami and I brought it here to Tennessee, even though they haven't won a Super Bowl, which that's the main goal. But I think he still thinks like, hey, I can still do this and I can still win. And when you draft this kid, like, that's your guys' problem. My job is to win and to focus on myself and to get better as myself as a quarterback for this team. My job is not to worry about my replacement, if that's what you guys are thinking. I don't even, like, you're wanting me to help out my replacement? Like, no, that's not going to happen. And there is a perfect situation that the same thing happened with Green Bay, with Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. Brett Favre, he was a star. He wasn't really, like, if you see, like, there was rumors and reports that he wasn't really mentoring Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers was just sitting behind them and just watching and everything. And Brett Favre was just focused on doing his own thing and winning. So I think I side with Tannehill. It's not his job. And he should be like just focusing on getting better himself. That's the Tennessee Titans problem for him to get for them to teach him or get a quarterbacks coach to teach him or whatever. But it's not Ryan Tannehill. His job is to get better and win a Super Bowl for Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. I got the quote here real quick. The full quote said, "That's part of being in the quarterback room, in the same room. We're competing against each other. We're watching the same tape. We're doing the same drills." And then he continued to say, he said, "I don't think it's my job to mentor him, but if he learns from me along the way, then that's a great thing."
Mm-hmm. I agree. I agree with Tannehill. So to answer your question, no, it's absolutely not. It's not a bad thing what he said. As a matter of fact, I appreciate his honesty. Why would me as a quarterback want to train or mentor someone who's eventually, or it's the plan for the Tannehill, my employer, in this case Tannehill, it's the Tennessee Titans, to replace me with Malik Willis. They drafted him to replace me. So why would I mentor someone to steal the job that I'm trying to win? So Tannehill knows this. Tannehill knows that that's the intention of Tennessee. Tennessee Titans are like, oh, great. You know, you have to, you know, be a team player. Help us. Well, no, why am I going to help you? You help me keep my job. So, yeah, I prefer the honesty from Tannehill saying, hell no, setting the record straight to Malik. Like, if you learn from me, you learn from me. That's great. But I'm not here going to sit down and sit with you with the playbook and tell you which route, tell you my secrets, what I see. I mean, I understand it's just being human and being nice. But at the end of the day, it's my paycheck. It's my job. And I'm gonna up my competitiveness because of this.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't even think of that point of just saying it out loud. So like just getting to a point to Malik Willis to hear that and say like, all right, dude, I won't bother you or asking you any questions. Like, yeah, I know
our relationship is. This is business. Football's business. I prefer the honesty than beating by the bush or playing politically correct and all that. No, I appreciate the, okay, Tannehill, I know. I mean, we can be buddies, we're business partners, but I understand that we're in competition. I'm here to take your job, and you're here to keep it. Mm-hmm. So Tannehill's right. I mean, why would I train someone who eventually might or might not, depending how he plays, take over my job? It just doesn't make any sense.
I think that it's inevitable. Eventually, you're going to get replaced, and that's just, again, business. I think there could have been a better approach to this, ideally, but of course, every person is different, and he had his own approach. But I think, ideally, he could have used that part of, you know, I don't think mentoring is my job to mentor him. He could have gone, like, as a more lighthearted joke about that. Because, yes, of course, there's always going to be competition. But, I mean, if you're so worried about them, then do your job and play good, dude. So they don't, like, if you played good enough and you did your job, because, you know, Tannehill's not, like, in the top five quarterbacks in my list. He, like, just play better, get better, you know, improve. Why are you so intimidated about a new guy? Okay, if anything, that's the way to pressure him. And if I'm like looking up, you know, as a Titans organization, I'm like, okay, good, this is what I want. It looks like he's getting competitive, and maybe we get something out of him. But I think it might have been just unnecessary drama, because he clearly, like, unless he just spoke without thinking first. But if you think before you speak, in that case, you would realize, okay, the media is totally going to twist this up and make it a lot worse than it is, because that's what the media does, right? So right. He could have gone, like, way better over the situation. He could have gone over it way better. Like I said, lighthearted joke. But he just needs to do his job. I mean, if Malik Willis deserves that job, good for him, you know? Like Yam said, it's business, right? It's also business to draft competition and see who steps up to the plate and takes over that QB1 spot. It's whoever it is, but there's no reason to really go out and say it out loud to people. I mean, yeah, it is the truth. It is what it is. But I mean, if you're really a good person and you want to go, you know, go with the right way of things in I guess how it is in the whole process of, like, getting replaced, because, you know, you're only getting older and your talent's not going to get better after a certain age. You're going to just decline. So, I mean, it won't hurt to just help them out and just be a good person, in my opinion. And there's just no point to say that kind of stuff in that manner.
I don't think he sounded bad. I don't think he sounded bad at all.
To me, he sounded kind of like cut and dry, like not like bad. But I mean, like I said, the media interprets it and makes it worse than it is.
No, but I mean, we can actually listen to the clip. We can listen to the clip live, and that's how we're interpreting it. Well, because I agree with, this is sports. Besides business, it's sports. So it's in sports, what is it? Competition. So, and him as a quarterback, he is telling his team, like, I'm all for my team and I'm all for getting better and to win. My job is to focus and getting better and not to train this guy. So, and also for Malik, if I'm Malik and the quarterback, this quarterback is saying things, I'll be like, you know what? This should drive me as to be very competitive and to beat him in training camp and to show why the Tennessee Titans drafted me, because you suck and I'm better than you. So this is my way of beating. You know who did it the correct way? Russell Wilson, when he got drafted from the Seattle Seahawks. They had Matt Flynn over there in Seattle, and he was going to be the guy. And Russell Wilson, like you're saying, Aaron, he did it. He didn't say anything. I mean, he was drafted, but Flynn didn't say anything. And he just won the job clean and cut. During training camp, he just showed like he was so much better. So if I'm Malik, I'll take this out, like, okay, guys, I'll show you what I got. That's how I would
say it. Like, it's unnecessarily, like, okay, think of it as like you're sitting down in an office and you're the quarterbacks. You guys are going to be sitting like right next to each other. You guys are going to be, you know, doing the reps, and he's going to be behind you. Oh, and then you just said that, and then now it's just going to be like this, like, awkward start to this relationship. It's like, what? There is no reason. That's how I see it. Like, it's not going to kill you if you just, you know, teach him and show him the ropes a bit. It's not going to be your whole job. But, I mean, you're, like, it's not your, like, main focus. That's all I'm saying. Like, it's not like he's going to sit down and he's like, all right, you're going to come over to my house and we're going to go over this and that and this and that. It's like, it doesn't even have to go that far. It's just not a big deal. He made it a big deal. And it's kind of like,
I continue disagreeing with you, because let's say that if this was a corporate job and this new company got my future replacement and they're telling me to teach him, like, I'm thinking this company doesn't really like care, believe in me. Yeah, they don't care about me. So why would I care about them? And I mean, I know what you're saying, to be a human being and like to help them out or everything like that. And I mean, he probably is going to be a human being if they're in the quarterback room and he asks a question, and maybe Tannehill, just for being a human being, just answers it. But he's not going to be with him like, hey, let me teach you. Let's stay early. I mean, let's get here early or let's stay late to learn about this.
No, yeah, so yeah, he I made it quite agree. Clear. And that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying he's going to do all that stuff. I just said it's more so, it's not as big as of a deal as it is like that he's trying to make. Like, it's important to him. Obviously, Tannehill, this is a threat to him. But he doesn't have to go out and speak to it and just, like, say it to the public, because you're forgetting the part that this is the media again, and the media is going to twist things up and make it bigger than it is, because the media causes drama within locker rooms, and that's a lot of the times how there's weird relationship between players. I don't know what, like, the first thing that comes off right at the top of my head, like, when the media gets involved in this kind of stuff and how it kind of makes it into a weird situation with players. We're going to go a little bit off topic with, like, football, going basketball, when the whole COVID thing happened and Rudy Gobert joked around with the whole, like, oh, touching microphones or whatever. I don't know if you guys remember that, but he ended up getting COVID, and it was like the spiral between Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell, between them. And then the media made this whole thing like even bigger between them, and there's like even more issues, chemistry issues, and now there's like a whole breakup. So going back to the football situation, look at it that way. The whole media
and that situation
is
with
this a bigger deal.
Right. But in that situation, the media was just thirsty to grab anything to discuss during pandemic time, because they just needed something to talk about.
Wouldn't you say they're kind of thirsty for this too? Like, I mean, he was just saying something and the media grabbed it and it's like, oh, this is very interesting. Oh, everyone's going to hear this. And oh, man, Tennessee has a new drama going on between the quarterbacks.
Well, let me ask you as a Cowboys fan. Let's say Dak Prescott, he hasn't won a Super Bowl. And let's say the Cowboys just drafted a quarterback like Malik Willis in the second round. And Dak Prescott says what Tannehill said. Would you, as a Cowboys fan, would you like what Dak Prescott said, or would you not like what Dak Prescott said?
Well, just knowing what I know of him right now, it would totally be uncharacteristic. But if it happened, I'd be like, well, I mean, he's telling the truth, but I mean, why? You know, like, go out and show it. Don't talk. Just do it.
It wouldn't bother me. For me, I would be like, my quarterback is focused on getting better. And
I mean, typically, that's what quarterbacks answer. My focus is not on Malik. My focus is to get better and improve my game, right? But aren't we tired of the whole political correcting to say? So I appreciate that he said that. Like, okay, you know what? I'm not here. It's not part of my job to mentor Malik. My job is to be quarterback and to improve every day. If he learns along the way, then that's great. I think that was perfectly fine.
I shouldn't even say this because I don't recall, but didn't Tom Brady say this one time with one of the quarterbacks that got drafted one time in the Patriots?
Wasn't it Garoppolo?
I think it was Garoppolo, and he didn't say it this harshly, if you want to go into political correctness or everything like that, but I'm maybe completely mistaken, but I think he said something in the words like, I'm just focusing on on just getting better or something like that, just easier, cleaner, whatever. And then with Aaron Rodgers, when Love got hired,
I don't remember what Rodgers, but he was pissed too.
But he was pissed with the situation. So I mean, I bet you, like, what Tannehill said is what was crossing these guys' minds when they draft a quarterback. Like, what the hell? So, I mean, I don't mind at all him saying it that way. I don't think it's going to be a huge issue. But, I mean, we do have some players taking to social media. Like, I put it on Instagram. LeSean McCoy, he actually commented on the situation. He just said, he sent the tweet, and this is what he said. "If you don't want to mentor, I get it, but don't call yourself a good teammate. If anything happens to you and he needs to replace you, let's pray he is prepared. Winning is the only stat that matters if you are a good teammate."
And so I guess it's perspective. That's a good point. It's that brings up another good point. It is a teammate-based game. Like, you're there for your teammates, right? You're there to win. You're trying to win. And that's what LeSean McCoy was basically saying as well. Like, but I mean, it doesn't make you a good teammate. You just go out and say that. Of course, it's not going to destroy the whole thing, but I mean, it's just unnecessary. I'm not saying you have to say certain things. You could have just not said anything at all. Another point Kurt Warner said, I mean, he kind of defended the whole good mentality or good teammate situation. And he said, "I will never understand that I'm not here to mentor the next guy mentality. So for all you young QBs that need a mentor, DM me and I'll be that guy. Happy to help in any way I can." Like, there's just with all the negativity that's going on. When you're, it is a different situation in this case because Tannehill, I mean, is he getting any better?
I know. I think we have what we have from him. But he did raise everybody's eyebrows when he moved to Tennessee, and he did what he did. And didn't he go to the AFC Championship like a couple years ago?
He got really close. Let me see.
He got really close. So, I mean, it's a slap to the face, in my opinion.
Well, he choked in the playoff game. That's
last year.
Last year, yeah. But yeah, I think he's a decent quarterback.
I understand. I mean, it just makes it, if you're a football team, a football player with the Tennessee Titans, and your quarterback is Ryan Tannehill, and then I don't know, your offensive lineman or a wide receiver, even though AJ Brown just left and Julio Jones is not there anymore, but and you see them drafting another quarterback, It's kind of hard to give an opinion because you're not in the locker room and you really don't know what these players think about their quarterback, Ryan Tannehill. Can they see themselves, you know what, our football team is ready enough to win the Super Bowl. All we need is kind of like the Rams situation. We just need a good quarterback. I mean, maybe that could be the situation with them. But, I mean, I can see, I don't know, Ryan Tannehill saying this. I mean, if I'm a football player, it really depends on what the players think and what's going through their minds. Yeah, either they want to move on from Tannehill or Malik Willis. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, everybody thinks different. That's the risk you were taking. And maybe he did know that risk when he said that kind of stuff. And maybe he didn't care, you know, to each their own. But I mean, you got to at least acknowledge the consequences of your actions, which is not massive or anything. But I mean, we all know the media is going to make it a bigger deal than it is. And it's not that big of a deal. But it's also like, I mean, if we're going in that direction of, oh, it's a huge deal, which is most likely what it's going to be, then it was like, well, you didn't really need to say that kind of stuff. But here's to mention. In 2018, that was their last season with Mariota, and they didn't even go to the playoffs. In 2019, that's when they got Tannehill. So he's been there since 2019. He lost the conference. And then 2020, he lost the what's it called? What is this one? He lost the wild card. So they went to the conference in 2019, which was his first year with the Titans. That's when you were saying, you know, yeah, they raised eyebrows when he was playing, and he was playing pretty good. But I mean, he's peaked. Ever since then, he's only kind of capped himself at the conference because he's gone to the wild card, and then last year he went to the division. So he lost it, or they lost the division. Sorry, with against the Bengals. So it's like you're not seeing him get better, and he's clearly the Tennessee Titans have run out of patience with this guy, and it's time to move on. That's acceptable. Okay, do your thing. Fine, don't mentor him. Whatever. We don't need you. Whatever. You know, Malik Willis might be better. if that's how you want to play it. And that's how it is. And now he's going to look bad. And now it's like, okay, well, look, you were selfish with that. And now look at your downfall. You know, you're not going to win the Super Bowl because you had... I'm not going to say that's because he said that, but I'm just saying, like, you know, it just makes it look...
The only negative that's going to come up to Tannehill is that other teams, like, if they wanted him as a back of their league, like, heck no, I'm not going to get this guy. That's just, that's the only thing that's going to hurt on his resume.
No.
At this point,
so, I agree with Andy. Yes.
I'll be like, no, this guy doesn't want to even help.
Exactly.
If anything, this shows that he cares and he's competitive.
Yeah, but doesn't mean he's going to be good.
No, but at least you know that he's going to try to be good.
But why would I get a guy that's not even good enough and competitive? Okay, cool, you're competitive, but you're not even going to win the job, so what's the point?
In a heartbeat, anyone would pick up Brian Tannehill as a backup quarterback, regardless of what he said in that conference.
I don't know, honestly.
I don't know, honestly,
because, right now, in his mentality, I don't think so.
If they re-signed... Antonio Brown, they'll just trust me. Just no, you guys are wrong.
That was a different situation.
You know what? Let's just say that this year, I'm thinking that Ryan Tannehill is the starter, and they go to the playoffs and they get kicked out, and the Tennessee Titans want to just start with Malik Willis. I bet you that Ryan Tannehill still thinks, because he keeps going to the playoffs, that he says, I can win with a team, and any team that's gonna be calling me, I want to be a starter. I'm not a backup. And then he's getting older in age, so new quarterbacks are coming in or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be harder for him to get a job.
And I agree. I think he does. I think once it happens, they'll see what quarterbacks are available, and they'll see, okay, we might have a little bit of a shot. For example, Fitzpatrick. Just going to end it there.
How can you end it there? What about Fitzpatrick?
He's always been a starter.
He's always a start. But I guess I get what you mean. But he, like him in Miami, he was annoyed when they wanted to start Tua to see what he had. He was like, I've been playing well.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's the same argument that Tannehill will have. Are you telling me that Fitzpatrick has been given many, many opportunities being started that Ryan Tannehill won't get at least one more after 10?
No, he probably will.
Probably twice.
But I don't think so. Like, a lot of teams are going to be calling. Like, with Fitzpatrick, I think that guy knows what he is already. There was at a point in his career that I was like, you know what? I'm a backup. I'm a good, solid backup. If the quarterback gets down, I can win you some games. And Tannehill is not going to think that way.
At one point of his career, and Ryan Tannehill's not there yet.
He's getting close to it.
Guess we'll agree to disagree.
So this is also a new situation for him. I mean, he didn't have competition before. Now he does. So we'll see if he can really step up to the plate. So we'll see how that goes for them. But anyways, we'll move on to the next one. Let's talk about over in the NFC with the Cardinals. Hopkins suspended for 6 games. It was performance enhancement like thing that they had. Like they weren't supposed to do that. I forgot what it was. I don't know if you guys can remind me of that. But I mean, how did the Cardinals handle the situation?
Yeah, performance enhancement drugs.
But he said on Twitter it was an accident.
Yeah, he said it was an accident. He says he's very careful what he consumes, but it was an accident.
Well, he's going to get to the bottom of it. He says that he apologized or something, that he's going to get on the bottom of it and he's going to appeal it.
Well, look, so what happened to him, and that's such a shame because he is a really good wide receiver. He's an elite. And so this really hurts his character. But, you know, saying that, leaving that aside, perhaps he was taking this performance enhanced drug, steroids, I don't know what they call it, but maybe it was to speed up his recovery. So this leads me to believe that the Cardinals might have known what was going on with the wide receiver. Because why else would you take steroids? To get stronger? To get faster? I think it's because he had an injury, MCL injury, so he missed last year due to that, which in my opinion, really hurt Kyler Murray. He struggled a lot of the times to get things going with the Cardinals since he left. The Cardinals have, what is it, tight end Hurts. They just got Hollywood Brown. They got from the Ravens. They have Rondale Moore. I don't know how good he is. I mean, he's some kind of help. But history shows that the Cardinals need to get off to a good start in the beginning of the season to have a good season. So without D-Hop for at least a month and a half, how many games? Five games. He's not going to be there to help. Six games. Well, so they need a good start in the beginning. So from what I was researching, the Cardinals need a good start to continue that momentum. So without him, I just don't see this team being the same. Yeah, okay, they have Hollywood Brown, they have Ertz, but you know, with D-Hop gone, he's an elite receiver. He really helps Kyler Moore. I'm sorry, Kyler Murray. Yeah. So, yeah. I just don't see this team the same without him. Mm-hmm. They need to find creative ways to be good without him, with Holly Brown and Ertz.
Yeah, I think this team has issues beyond DeAndre Hopkins. I think we talked about it in our previous episodes of the podcast when we spoke about Kyler Murray and him wanting to be traded or just needed. He just wants his contract. I don't think that they're meshing well with the quarterback and with the system, with the coach and everything. And I think that the Cardinal organization, they really thought that they were going to be able to go at it and win, because when they went to get J.J. Watt last year and then Zach Ertz, they're thinking we just need like these small key pieces to just get us to that championship. So I think with DeAndre Hopkins like getting suspended, I mean, yeah, he does help them like substantially to win more games, but at the very end, they still have some problems. Like Marquise Brown, I mean, what did he do in Baltimore? I mean, he was supposedly the favorite target over there, but I didn't see him catch that many touchdowns. It wasn't like he was jumping off the pages in Hollywood and fantasy.
He's a deep threat.
Yeah, but yeah, even if he was a deep threat, he's a deep threat, but that doesn't mean that he didn't do that much. And then they have AJ Green, which, I mean, he helped a little. It wasn't like beast mode. Like he didn't like really, really put him into a next level. Even with Zach Ertz, so I don't think DeAndre Hopkins' suspension is gonna be like, oh, because of him, the season is over. Like, no, they need to figure out their situations with the quarterback. Their wide receivers aren't that amazing. I mean, you just said Rondale Moore. I think he was a second draft pick in the second round, I'm sorry, in 2021. And, I mean, we haven't heard of him. I mean, they just let go of Christian Kirk. James Conner, the running back, did okay. They have a decent offensive line. So, I don't know. I just don't think that DeAndre Hopkins being suspended is just going to like throw everything away. They need to fix their problems.
Mm-hmm. I think that it'll definitely affect them no matter what. We're just talking about maybe less wins. But this is only going to make them worse, obviously. But like you said, Andy, they have to adapt. So I think in this case, they would have to, you know, they do have Marquise Brown. We didn't mention that. AJ Green. Whatever. Rondale Moore. It's a good wide receiver core, but not like exceptional. Not like what the Cowboys had the past season with Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup. But, I mean, maybe we could see them go into the run game more. Maybe we could see more read options, you know, where Kyler Murray could run it or pass it or hand it off a lot of that more and not be dependent on the passing game as much. But we are definitely going to see a hit on them, and it's going to be interesting to see what they do to adapt to them missing basically almost half the season without DeAndre Hopkins. But
if that's the case with the running game, I mean, they need more help in the running game. Chase Edmonds, which played really well for them last year as their second running back behind James Conner, he left. He's in Miami. So, again, I go back to they have a lot of things that they need to get fixed before they can even do anything. They have a certain situation. I mean, they're in a division with the Rams, the 49ers, and the Seahawks. And I put them in third place. I put the Rams first. Second is the 49ers. Third is the Cardinals. And then fourth is the Seahawks.
I agree.
So, them, I mean, and they have to do a lot to even... They have to really figure things out in order for them to compete in that division.
Yeah. I think their chance to win it and maybe win it all was last year. That was their time to make some kind of playoff movement, big movements last year. It's gone. I think they're going either down or they're going down on their way to rebuild. And I give this year probably the last year for Cliff Kingsbury. He's in a hot seat.
Really?
So, yes. So, I just don't see... And you're right. You're right. It's not just D-Hop. It's just a whole bunch of issues with that team right now.
Well, that is a pretty good point. Yeah, because the whole team's kind of weird right now, and they're not going to get any better right now. It's, like you said...
It looked that way, and yeah, it looked that way earlier in the season. Before the season started, it looked like they were getting their act together, and they looked like everybody was talking really well about them. I like Kyler Murray. I don't know right now because
earlier in the season last year.
Yeah, last year before the season, they were talking like,
yeah,
well,
they were high up.
They were high up. They were like saying like they can do good things and everything, but then it looks like. Like Yams has been saying, like said that with Cliff Kingsbury, he might be losing the team a little bit. I mean, they did get some veterans with Zach Ertz and JJ. Well, maybe they can rally the troops together, the team, but I don't know. The main guy is the quarterback, and when your quarterback is not happy, it just doesn't put a good taste in your mouth. So we'll see. Right now, I don't see him make the playoffs, but I mean, they're going to get some help with this. And I guess this new rule that there's more teams in the playoffs. So if it was the olden times, I would say, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but with this new rule, they might just do it barely.
Yeah. So I think it's really close between 49ers and Cardinals. They both have, a weird situation right now, right? Their quarterback's kind of a question mark. I wouldn't say so much the coach for the 49ers, but I mean, just the team in general, they're just kind of in like a weird spot, wouldn't you say? Like, it's kind of awkward for them. It's not comfortable. And it's almost like a gamble to, I guess, if you were to bet on them to go all the way or not. You can't really trust either team, right?
No, neither.
No, mm-mm. Yeah.
You'd rather put your money on the Jets to go all the way than the
Jets. I don't know what you're thinking. Honestly, I do feel more confident on the Jets.
Yeah.
The Jets definitely have a chance.
No, I don't know what you guys
do something this coming year.
I don't know what you guys are smoking.
110% put your money on the Jets.
No, they can be a wild card type of thing. No.
That's better than not it.
No,
I give them.
Jimmy Garoppolo went to the NFC Championship, guys. Like, what are you guys talking about? I know that they were thinking of trading him, but that team is still put together. They just need.
Okay,
I mean, I don't know if Trey Lance is the answer.
Leaves?
What he's not going to leave.
No, he's not leaving.
He's not going to leave. I mean,
side note, he's followed the team back on Instagram and on Twitter. So just
he's probably wants like $1 billion or something. That every team is like, heck no. I know that Jets offered him a really bad deal or whatever, but no. And then him saying,
do you,
that really
I don't
hurt
think
him.
Gonna give him. They're not going to give him the deal. He's going to conserve himself this coming year, and he's going to look for something better elsewhere. That's
then
what
it
I
might,
think that's going
to happen. It might affect the team because he says that he just wants to be a wide receiver. So I think that really affected his situation of being traded because other teams were like, well, we want you how the 49ers have been wanting you. And So I think, I don't know. I think the 49ers are more, a little bit more put together than the 49er situation. And that's because of the coach. Honestly, it's, you can see the difference between coaches. The Cardinals falling apart. The 49ers, they don't have all the pieces, but you can see that they're still together, except for Deebo, that he wants his money, which I don't blame him. I'm all for players getting paid.
So to go back on your, on the standing, so you have the Rams being number one.
Right. 49ers two.
49ers number two. Okay, I agree with you.
And Cardinals number three. And then fourth is the Seahawks. And that's because, I mean,
Russell's gone.
Russell's gone and they have Drew Lock. Mm-hmm.
I see it kind of even between those three teams.
I don't know. I think we have to end it here because this is awful, awful, awful. How do you, okay, how
the Seahawks the same as the 49ers? Hey, honestly, why are you dismissing Luck?
How, Luck? Why am I dismissing? Yeah. What the heck has that guy done?
No, no, okay. In all seriousness, I can't give you a firm answer on either Cardinals or the 49ers. It can, one of them can be number
they,
two.
They got second place last year, the Cardinals, and they went to the wild card and got demolished by the Rams 34-11. So that's just a little something to go off of. I think they still have a good chance to make it in second. I think overall they're a better team than the 49ers, especially with the weird situation they have with Deebo. If they really restrict them to just a wide receiver, or yeah, or he gets what he wants, I guess, to just stick as a wide receiver, that might affect things in San Francisco and the whole pressure with Garoppolo to see if he moves on or not. You know, I think I would put the Rams definitely first, and then I would put kind of comfortably the Cardinals, and then the San Francisco, and then Seahawks last.
You guys are nuts.
I just can't tell you Cardinals or San Francisco number two. It's because it depends. I don't know anything about Lance. I don't know anything about him.
No, but I'm saying the 49ers because Jimmy's still there. Yeah, I agree with you. I don't know too much about Lance. I'm seeing reports that that the 49ers are a little underwhelmed by him, meaning that they're not like super happy.
Right.
And that, but I think that, I mean, we, I mean, this is just right now. We have to see him play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get annoyed by reports or the organizations getting annoyed by quarterbacks, and then they don't see. I mean, it's a different situation when it's practice and when it's on the field. So get him on the field and we'll see what he has. But right now, I believe more in the 49ers because of the coaching staff. Kyle Shanahan, I respect him a lot as a coach, and it looks like Cliff Kingsbury, he needs help. He doesn't have the whole locker room together. His quarterback is like pissed off and unfollowing the team, just like Deebo did with the 49ers, even though I think that the team and the 49ers are more put together. But I just think they have better pieces, the 49ers, than the Cardinals.
Another point is that last year it seems like, oh my gosh, let me pull it up real quick. I mean, in the division, the Cardinals were 4-2 and San Francisco is 2-4. I don't remember who they beat San Francisco, who were the two wins against. I'm guessing maybe it was Seattle. Let me see here. But I mean, their record's not that good anyways. And the Cardinals went 4-2 in the division. So wouldn't you say they're the better team?
I'm stuck. I don't know what to say. I think it's either, it has to be either. I would go the 49ers and only because of the head coach putting them number two.
Yeah. So and then the 49ers lost 31-17 against the Cardinals. They lost both games, actually, 49ers against the Cardinals. So that's not something to just kind of brush off, right? I don't remember if Hopkins was playing in any of those games because he was struggling with injuries last season. But, I mean, either way, I mean, it's not like they did get Marquise Brown, and that's definitely a good piece. It's not a bad addition to them. So they didn't get worse. It's just like you guys said, it's an awkward situation in that locker room, and they need to figure things out to just be a better team and you know, try to win something. I don't know, something better than just a wild card. You know,
The 49ers went to the Super Bowl.
Old news.
They went to the Old Super
news.
Bowl.
Old news.
And they went to the Super Bowl. And
it's
they went
the
to
NFL.
The
NFL. It changes it for you.
And they went to the NFC Championship last year.
I'll leave it at this. Look, history shows the Cardinals need to have a good start in the beginning of the season in order to have a good season. In this case, D-Hop is gone for a month and a half. Okay, that gives them struggling times at least half the season. So, with that being said, I will agree with you, Andy, just this once. That the 49ers will come number two and the Cardinals will be number three. But I also agree with Aaron. They do need to have more than just a wild card spot, but I think they'll end up getting a wild card spot and an eliminated right away.
They're just lucky that they're in the NFC and it's less competitive than the AFC. So they do have a shot. I'm just saying that it's not like they're going to be able to win it all with these pieces that they have, and losing DeAndre Hopkins wasn't, I mean, they have a lot of issues. So I'll end my part there.
All right. I guess that's pretty much it. Pretty interesting. Interesting. We'll see. I hope I'm right. I think the Cardinals will get a number two spot in the division, and I think they'll go to the wild card, but I won't say anything past that. But yeah. Thank you guys for listening, using your time to listen to us. This has been the Football Tailgaters podcast. This has been Aaron, Yams, and Andy. Follow us on our socials. Andy, can you say them?
Follow us on Instagram and football_tailgaters. And you can see in the profile page in the Instagram, you'll be able to see the link for our episodes. And so just follow along and give us some comments. Think us what you guys think about the podcast, any topics that you guys want us to talk about. If you want to even say a shout out, we can also do that as well. So yeah, follow us along on Instagram. Again, it's on football_tailgaters.
Awesome. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you in the next episode.
Thank you guys. Bye.
Peace out.